So I'm joined on the phone today with Jennifer Efting in Vancouver, and you're a member of the bus riders union there. Maybe you could start off by telling me what exactly is the bus riders union?
Oh, the bus riders union is a grassroots organization fighting for more buses and lower fares. And we organize for more buses and lower fares because we know that for working class and marginalized people to have equal access to the community, including jobs, healthcare, and education, we need a good public transit system. So, yeah, that's what we're up to.
Maybe you could explain the recent victory that you have had in winning back the night buses in Vancouver.
Right. So for 18 months, the Bus Riders Union organized on a campaign called Night Owl Buses End the Curfew Now. So we went into the community, we collected stories from people on how they're affected by the lack of night owl service. And I should just add for people who don't live in Vancouver that the buses were cut in 2001. So before 2001, we had night owl service and it was cut. So we started organizing to bring it back. And on Tuesday, March 24th, the TransLink board bowed to public pressure and in an uncharacteristic move, voted to restore night owl service. So we see it as a real victory. And really, if I could just add, we see it in this kind of age of neoliberalism where we're having all these cuts to public services and all these attacks on the rights of people. We see this as an example of how working class people can get together and fight on a concrete issue and win.
Why were the night buses cut in the first place?
Mm-hmm. There was... They were part of $5 million that were cut off the buses in 2001, and they were cut because supposedly TransLink said they didn't have enough money. But we know that pretty much TransLink makes priorities on how they spend their money, because in the interim, since 2001, they voted in favor of spending $200 million on a SkyTrain to the Vancouver airport, and they voted... $30 million to spend on new fare boxes, things like that. So we think while their reason was we don't have the money, we know in the bus riders union, their actual reason was, we want to spend the money on public-private partnerships and things like that. So
now, as you mentioned before, there was quite a bit of community consultation on your part around this campaign. People from the South Asian Youth Alliance, Filipino Nurses Support Group, Vancouver Rape Relief. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could speak a bit to how the lack of public transit affects marginalized communities.
Mm-hmm. The Bus Riders Union gets on the bus every week and we talk to bus riders about how they're affected by the lack of transit and around night owl buses specifically. And bus riders told us, they have to sometimes walk 2 hours home from work because there was no late night buses. Or they couldn't accept jobs or they lost shifts because there was no bus home or they couldn't get to work. Women talked about being followed and feeling unsafe because they had to walk home late at night. And a few bus riders told us they actually had to sleep in the storerooms of their restaurants where they worked because they couldn't get home at night. Those are the kind of things we're seeing. So economic marginalization, social marginalization.
One question I wanted to ask was I was in Vancouver over the summer, mm-hmm. and someone was explaining to me there with the SkyTrain. They were explaining like the irony of the way the SkyTrain was built because it actually tends to service a lot more poor communities because the communities with more economic sway didn't want an obtrusive big rail being built through the nicer parts of the city. Is that a reality in Vancouver?
Yeah, I think what that reflects is that... TransLink makes decisions on the basis of not in the interests of the working class communities in Vancouver. And I think the point that you're making is a good one about the SkyTrain going through working class neighborhoods. But the other issue is that in Vancouver, 80% of people ride the bus. Only 20% of people ride the SkyTrain at all. And yet an incredible percentage of the TransLink's budget goes into SkyTrain. So we lose on a number of levels with the SkyTrain development, I mean, in the Bus Riders Union, we're not against SkyTrain. We all ride SkyTrain. But we see that it basically bleeds the bus system dry and leads to cuts like the night owl buses and leads to situations like I was talking to you about bus riders being stranded and violations of our rights to get around.
Now it's this issue is kind of gaining increasing importance on the federal level. When we had Paul Martin come in as the new prime minister, he's talking about kind of a new deal he's making that he wants to make with cities, which for a long time now, I mean, big cities like Toronto, Montreal as well, Vancouver, have been really starved for cash when it comes to public transit. Why has this not been a priority lately, in your opinion, of putting money into public transit?
Well, I think that for a long time, or even today, municipalities haven't been recognizing the role that public transit plays, both in terms of what I was talking about ensuring equity among, you know, between different groups, but also the role that public transit plays in ensuring public health. And that hasn't been the priority for municipalities. I mean, that's the only answer I can come up with, and also the federal government. I mean, if public health and public safety and equity were priorities for the federal and provincial and municipal governments, we wouldn't be in the crisis situation with public transit that we're in now.
Maybe going back to a bit of question on your tactics and mobilizing strategies, I found it very interesting that you approach riders on the bus to ask them questions about their everyday experiences with public transit. How have you found that experience? Is that generally a good one in dealing with people?
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's been a huge learning curve for us. I mean, we really take the tactics that the trade union movement used at the beginning of at the turn of the century of talking to people one-on-one and organizing one-on-one and kind of interpreting that into a community context. So for me personally, as a community organizer, it's been the most high learning curve and most exciting and most vital organizing that I've ever done. And I think, I think it's incredibly exciting. People are, the role that we play on the bus too is to politicize that public space and to start to get people talking to each other. People get really isolated in their experiences and think, oh, I didn't catch the bus, I can't afford the bus, this must be my fault. When people start to hear other bus riders say, well, I'm having the same problems too, that's the beginning of class consciousness, and that's what we're trying to do on the bus, is to move people from their own individual experiences to an understanding that their experiences, their reason why they're having a hard time in their lives, and there's other people who share those experiences, and there's something we can do about it, which is organizing collectively. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I recommend it to the people of Montreal, too. So.
And finally, I wanted to ask, with this recent victory in winning back the night buses, how is this going to change people's lives who are using public transit in Vancouver?
Well, I think immediately when they bring them back, they haven't brought them back yet, obviously, but when they do bring them back, I think people are going to, the curfew will be lifted, which is what we called it when they cut the buses. They imposed the curfew. The curfew is lifted so people can get home easier. And women, there'll be increased safety for women. There'll be more options for people. Workers will be able to get home from their shifts. And I think beyond those concrete things, I think, again, when we, sometimes we get on the bus riders will say, what is the point of getting involved in grassroots organizing? And that's another maybe less tangible effect of bringing back the late-night buses, that this is something we can point to and say there is a point to getting involved in the social justice movement. We win things, right? So I think there's going to be a lot of positive repercussions. And just to keep pushing the bar, too, like, we know that bringing back late-night buses doesn't mean there's justice in our society. I think to use it as an example and say, look at how much more we need and how much more we need to get together and organize. So
it's a good step in the right direction. So
yeah.
I want to congratulate you on this recent victory and thank you for being on the phone with us
today. All right, thanks very much.